dunks by Smith, and no rebounds. If that's the case, we put Oakley and Mace in your face. We draw charges and we send picks. We are New York. We are the New York Knicks. Say go New York, go New York, go. Welcome back, everybody, to another edition of West Coast Knicks Fan. I'm actually here in New York with Jeff Cerulli in my sister's apartment.
And there is a big giraffe next to us.
There is a big giraffe. You want to talk about the decor here?
It's the first thing I noticed. There's like a, I would say, a 5-foot giraffe right there.
You know, it's a safari theme. If you look behind you, there's a tiger photos over your head. They went on a safari.
Oh.
You know, look, it's upper middle class, you know, white people. This is how they spice up their lives with giraffes and zebras.
And a pig.
Just a pig.
A pig over there.
So I'm here in New York, and we're finally doing one live. We did one early in the season together. And it's a shame that it comes off the heels of our season going down in complete flames.
It's tough to judge, though, because you have the excuse that nobody's healthy. So it's like, yeah, the season going down in flames, but nobody's there. So is it fair to say?
It's like if Pope shits in the woods, does anybody hear it? Is that the theory that we're going with?
Is it fair to say? This is not what they're going to look like in the playoffs. Right. Unless Melo can't play. Unless this is going to linger all year, and then the season's done anyway.
Can I take a little bit of a bow on the Melo injury? We just know from their staff that they lie about everything.
Sure, day to day.
Can I ask you this? What the hell was the point of Melo flying to LA?
I agree. It was to very selfishly, yo, I'm going to play in this Nuggets game. I'm going to show these guys. And he was terrible.
But
he couldn't play.
Who's in charge?
Melo.
He's in charge.
Melo is in charge of the team.
He's in charge of the team.
It's Dolan and then Melo. 100%.
And then somewhere below even Amare, there's people below Amare getting the dry cleaning.
The guy who listens on the bench with that big recording. Remember that?
Yeah, they were recording. Dolan was recording the convos.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't get how a player who clearly, you know, I mean, this is a big deal. You know, your knee is everything in basketball. What are you doing getting on a plane going cross country for a game you know you can't play in? And Woodson goes, I trust my players, but doesn't this fall on him to be like, no, you're sitting?
Yeah, he doesn't have the control that someone like Popovich has where the team revolves around him and they go under him.
He has control over the lesser players, right? He's like got control over Copeland.
He starts which garbage guy is going to start.
He controls the fates of James White and Chris Copeland. If Copeland had a knee injury, he would not be playing.
You know when you fly, it makes injuries worse.
Of course.
There's
no blood pressure. I mean,
uh-huh.
The airflow is not good. I mean, I was wondering, do you think he's laying straight down on the ground on the plane?
Maybe. I mean, look, I'm not a world-class athlete, but I did fly with a contusion when I went to L.A., and it was terrible. It was so fat when I got off the plane.
Right.
I was in so much pain.
You're not getting the blood flow.
It's terrible.
Phil Jackson, part of the reason he didn't want to come back was because of the flying.
Yeah, it sucks.
For his knees, he said, I can't do it. So, that being said, this was obviously our worst-case scenario. We said there's a chance they could lose all the games on the trip. We've lost 4 games in a row. I mean, I pretty much want to pretend they never happened. That's how.
Well, the weird thing is, they beat the Jazz, right?
And
it's like, all right, well, you know, maybe this isn't so bad. All right, they're going to be fine. Because they were playing really well before this. They almost beat the Thunder without Melo.
Yes.
Mari was there. We played terrible. So it was basically without both of them.
Right.
And they almost beat the Heat on the streak. They should have won that game. Everything's going well. We're 16 games over 500. We just beat the Jazz. And then shit hits the fan. And they get absolutely annihilated. Which one do you think was worse? The Warrior game or the Blazer game wasn't as bad. It was the Warrior, and then what was the other one? It was the
Denver.
The Nuggets, obviously.
I mean, Denver was the most brutal.
Warriors was bad because they were never in it, and the Warriors ran past them. But yeah, probably the Nuggets because of the history of the trade. Yeah. And they just...
That could have been our team. That could have been the East.
Yeah, I mean, even Anthony Randolph is sitting on that bench. Anthony Randolph, Corey Brewer, Gallo, Chandler.
You just knew that was happening.
Chandler looked... I would trade Chandler in a second for J.R. Smith.
Oh, my goodness.
He's so much
he looked really good.
More
he's got
consistent.
A post-up game, too.
But he was always good. He got hurt for the Nuggets.
And then he went to China.
Yeah, he's better player than J.R. Smith. He's way more consistent.
Maybe.
Way more consistent.
Yeah, the upside isn't as high as J.R.
Well, J.R. can get super hot.
Like, Wilson Chandler is probably not going to win you a playoff game.
I disagree with that.
You think he is?
Wilson Chandler can have a game, like a game where like your star's not hot. Think about like Nick Young for the Clippers that one game. What was it, 2 years ago? Or was it last? It was last year.
Yeah.
It was last year. He hit all those shots. Wilson Chandler's the guy who could win you a playoff game. Not a ton, but one.
I submit that J.R. Smith could win more playoff games than Wilson Chandler. J.R. Smith could,
too.
Yeah. Look, yes, J.R. Smith has now sunk, but you can't really blame J.R. Smith for anything that's happening because he's not meant to be the leading scorer of any team ever. Mm-mm. If J.R. Smith is your leading scorer, you should be playing in Europe somewhere.
Yeah,
he should be a European team.
I'm not hating on J.R. Smith.
No, he's played well. Actually, he's played admirably considering.
Yeah. I'm just saying Wilson Chandler, I think, is a more consistent player. Yeah. That's all.
I would say the worst loss was Denver because of the circumstances because just that's a good team. That's what a good team looks like. That's what a well-rounded, fun
very
team.
Very fun. Manimal exciting. Dunking on them.
Exciting, and then Ty Lawson abusing Felton. And just everything.
That hurts.
Everything.
Every Knicks fan wanted at least one point guard that draft.
Yeah.
And Ty Lawson was sitting there.
Who ended up with Jordan?
Jordan Hill, who had a great Knicks career. He was in the Lakers, and then I think he's injured or he got in trouble or something, but he's gone for the year. But the point being is, you look at that game, Melo played like garbage because he had no explosion at all, and they got destroyed. And then the Blazer game, they're up 13, they're actually looking pretty good, and then you're relying on Kurt Thomas to play 30 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, let me ask you this. Is there ever a scenario where this Knicks team with that lineup is supposed to win any of these games?
Yeah, you're saying what team could they play?
Yeah, I mean, why? We should never expect it. A team that fields Kurt Thomas, Shumpert, Felton, Copeland, and I don't know who's on the starting line. Who's a White? I don't forget.
Well, you started Kenyon Martin.
Kenyon Martin. I'm saying, but that team has the offensive firepower of 20 points total, cumulative.
Two things I'll say.
Yeah.
One, that lineup that you just mentioned, it did play well in the beginning in the game, but who are they supposed to beat in the NBA? I don't know.
Nobody.
Could maybe beat Notre Dame.
Yeah.
They could maybe take on Louisville.
They could beat some Big East teams. A few. Yeah. I would actually be interested to see how this Knicks squad
could be
in the NCAA tournament.
They were in the NCAA.
Would they be a number one seed? Would this Knicks team with Kurt Thomas, Kenyon, Copeland, Shumpert and Felton.
The Van Wilder team?
Yeah, I mean, that's really what it is.
Well, it's a glaring omission by Woodson that he was starting White over Copeland.
Crazy.
Because Copeland can actually hit open shots. I love when Copeland gets the ball in the paint. It's like a 96 Madden spin move. It's just so slow. Everyone watches it. And
you don't see that very much anymore in the NBA. The really, really slow dribble down, look down.
Yeah.
Just to look down when he dribbles. Yeah. I love that he has to look down. He must look down when he dribbles.
So, you know, that's one thing that's clear as day now. White should never have been stopped.
No.
Now, Camby actually looks a little better.
He does. I have to give him credit.
He lost some weight.
He's a guy you want on your team for the next 3 years.
Yeah, now, it doesn't look great, but I thought he looked terrible.
Yeah, the beginning of the year.
Service. If Camby was your 10th man, 12th man, you'd be fine.
Yeah,
but now he's the 7th man. So you got to deal with him. This lineup, if they were in the tournament, I would probably pick like a feisty college team to beat them.
Yeah,
like Louisville or Miami.
I'll ask you an even worse question. Is this team worse than the Knicks starting lineup in the mid-2000s? The horrendous,
Weatherspoon
led teams.
No.
No?
Because you had Sprewell.
Who was that point guard that got smacked?
Howard Eisley?
No, the other guy got punched by Melo. Who got mushed.
Oh, my God. Melo bitch slapped
him. Marty Collins.
Marty Collins. Yeah, the Nuggets were killing us.
Could the Marty Collins, Clarence Weatherspoon-led team beat this?
Well, you're mixing eras.
Okay.
But I don't.
Eisley era.
The best of the shit Knicks from the 2000s. No, this team's probably a little better.
It doesn't say a lot about the Knicks team, right? I mean, let's say Miami was without their best three players.
Well, yeah, of course. The Clippers were like the big bullies yesterday.
Right.
But let's take Griffin, Chris Paul, and Jamal Crawford off, even though he's not their top three.
Doesn't Eric Bledsoe, DeAndre Jordan, Caron Butler, Matt Barnes team beat the Knicks? Yes.
Probably yesterday, but it's a fair fight.
Yeah.
That Clipper game,
let me ask you this.
They had no chance.
The Miami Heat, if LeBron, Bosh and Wade are not playing.
Yes.
Do we beat the team that is Mario Chalmers, Ray Allen,
Battier,
Shane Battier,
Birdman,
Bergman and that other guy who rebounds a lot. Udonis Haslam.
Udonis. Yeah, they beat them.
We do.
That's not a good team.
No, it's not.
No.
Do we beat...
But that's...
Do we beat the Spurs?
Yeah, no.
Yeah, Parker, Spurs Duncan, are like a machine. You're a machine, right? That you can plug anybody.
They have a great coach.
You can plug Tiago Splitter into Duncan's spot. You can plug Gary, whoever, Neal into...
But the problem with the Heat, they're so reliant on LeBron. It's like a pyramid.
Yeah.
And then you have Wade and Bosch and then everyone else. So it's so weighted on LeBron. You take him out, they're going to suffer. Popovich is Spurs. He'll have them running.
My point being is, right, so you take away Durant, Westbrook, and Ibaka from the Thunder.
Yeah.
My point being is, should we even bother having an analysis of what this team looks like? I mean, they're an abomination because they're missing their three best players, and you only... In the NBA, your three best players is everything.
Yeah.
It's everything. I mean, it's the whole game.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. You know, I mean, Felton is not looking great.
You got to admit that Felton, if you went around point guards in the league, you'd probably take everyone else.
You know, I ranked him as high as 12 this year.
I probably had him as like 4.
Yeah, you had him very right.
Raymond Felton.
I also, how does one gain weight during the year?
You think you got a little fatter?
Yeah.
I don't know.
How does one gain weight in the middle of the season?
It must be poor heating habits because you figure you're doing so much cardio.
Yeah,
you're running 6 days a week.
Right, but it's that one night of binge eating in the hotels. He probably orders late night room service, and he probably tells them they can't say anything to Coach Woodson or anybody about it.
Well, you got to.
And then they see his tray outside of the room. It's like got like McDonald's all over it.
You got to look at it this way: they're doing more cardio than you or I.
Yeah.
But they're also eating more
because
they're burning more calories. So if you're at that level and then you add a little bit more, that's how you gain weight.
Yeah, it's just he's not looking good. He can't get past almost anybody anymore. He was doing really well in the pick and roll. Now he seems to sort of...
I'm seeing this a lot, too, from him. He dribbles, gets double teamed, and then he throws it at the defender.
Yeah,
and then they steal it.
It's an odd play. I'm not really sure.
That I want to stop seeing. And once a game, Shumpert out of bounds. I need to stop seeing.
He's in the corner, right? From
the
three.
In the corner,
why are you standing
out? He gets the ball and he's out of bounds. It happens once a game.
I think what happens is he's sneaking like food and drink from somebody out of court. No, but I'll tell you this. That's the one bright spot. Shumpert.
He's playing well.
He looks like...
His shot looks okay. Yeah, that's all you can ask.
He's a 28% three-point shooter now and 30%. Now, he's probably like 40% for the year now.
I don't cringe when he shoots.
I don't either. He's actually starting off the games well, which is weird. And then he never shoots again in the second half.
Woodson's got weird rotations. Sometimes he sits
in
his
back. Copeland will score 8 points in the first quarter, and then he'll never play. That's it.
Done.
He's like,
you're done.
You scored your eight. Maybe there's something in his contract. If he gets too many points,
they have to give him more money. The thing also about that Clipper game, and look, it was never a game. You speak about that with like other games, too. You're like, they had no chance of winning. That's who knew they had no chance of winning. Knicks had no chance, no matter what.
The only game they had a chance in was Portland.
Because even when it was like cut to eight, the Clippers turned it on again. But if this is your offense, just go home. We're going to stand around. We're going to pass the ball. Yeah. We're going to give it to Kenyon Martin. He's going to take a jump shot. Just give it to the other fucking team, and that's it. I saw that happen like 5 or 6 times. There was one where he shot it, and it went over the backboard on a hook shot.
He's such a bad shooter. He's not an NBA shooter.
He's actually good for us, though. That's the shitty part. He can help us.
He can. Him and Marcus Camby are probably the two worst shooters of their eras.
Camby is so awkward.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like...
Kurt Thomas is shooting well, though.
You can't shoot, but you make a living off basketball. Like, I get it, but it's like...
You can't get the ball in the bucket, which is the goal of the game.
You're a comedian, and you can't do topical jokes.
Right.
You can do anything else, but if I'm like, hey, can you do a joke?
No, I don't know anything about the news
or the
pop culture.
The guy makes a living, and he can't put the ball in the basket.
We have very few guys that can actually score baskets, which is actually what makes you a basketball player. You have to be able to do that. That's a pretty important skill set when the game is scored by baskets. We have three guys right now on the team. Felton, Copeland, Shumpert.
Smith.
Smith. Four guys. And Cade occasionally, but...
And Prigioni doesn't play at all anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I've never liked Prigioni. I got on the bus a little bit.
He's feisty.
Yeah, he's feisty, but all these young guards, like a Lawson, I mean, come on.
Yeah. You know? No, I get it, but I think he could get a little more burn. But the problem is, he's just so thin right now.
All we have to do is just pray they win this game tonight.
I mean, look, at the bottom line, Van Gundy talked about it yesterday, too. You're just fearing the Heat. You play the Pacers, you're playing the other team, who gives a shit?
I printed out the schedule for the week, and I wanted to take a look at that because we really...
They're going to slide down.
Yeah, well, here's the thing, right? We originally were in the low 50s, and then we were down to 49, 48. I think we're now looking at the mid-40s.
That's unfortunate.
Well...
Did they win tonight?
I don't think so. Utah's a very hard place to play. Well, they're a very good home team.
They're big.
And they're also a very, very good home
team. We have nobody.
Although the only good thing we do have is that we have good post defenders.
Yeah.
Like, these scrubs. Kenyon and Camby are at least...
Kenyon mixes it up.
They neutralize what Utah does well.
Yeah, they form four big men. Jefferson, Millsap, Kanter. Who was a third pick.
Yeah.
I don't see that. I mean, he's not... bad. And favors.
Yeah. It's going to be tough. I think we lose again.
That sucks.
Which brings us to 38-27, and then we finally have a nice breather in the schedule.
Orlando.
The rest of March is very winnable. The entire slate.
Obviously, you're not talking about that Memphis game.
I am, because it's home, and Carmelo and Chandler should be healthy by then.
Carmelo going to give you anything, though? If he's going to be limping around this
whole time. I think he needs to sit for another week.
Yes.
And I think Chandler needs to sit till he's healthy. These games are not important. We're sliding. We have to just, let it slide.
If we get, at this point, what we've been through, if we get the four, and I say we because we're on the team.
Yeah.
If we get the fourth seed, which is still home court, and Amari, Melo, and Chandler are healthy for the playoffs, be fine.
Right.
What we've been through.
We could slide anywhere down to seven, really. We just can't go to eight.
Yeah, because you just got to avoid the Heat. They're not going to get eight. They're too...
You'd have to be like 42-40. Really is 38
wins. The Bucks are not...
No, look, I see March right here, right? So say we lose tonight. Do you think it's a win?
Think
we win one for the Gipper?
No.
Then we have Wednesday versus Orlando. I think that's when we turn to a winning. We have to, yeah. And then we have a home-and-home against Toronto. I'd love to split it. I'd love to win them both. But if we split, now we're back into winning ways. Now we're at 40 wins. You know what I mean? We're back at 40 wins. We've got Boston, two games against Boston this month. Home and away, and then we have Memphis and Charlotte. We got to win that Charlotte game.
Yeah, that Charlotte game's a must.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing is,
we're circling Orlando and Charlotte as must wins.
Game not too long ago against the Cavs was like, look, we got to win this one because we got a tough road stretch. Yeah. And they took care of business.
No, they did. I do think about the Knicks. I've always said this. They're a professional team. They've done what professional teams do, which is beat up the bad teams.
Yeah.
But now they are a bad team with what they're fielding. I mean, you can't get into this, they are the Knicks. They're not. These are a bunch of, bench players, posing as the Knicks. The Knicks are Melo, Chandler, Amari.
Look, man.
That's the Knicks.
You could take away Tyson Chandler. You could take away Melo. You could take away Amari Stoudemire, but you cannot take away Chris Copeland, James White, Kenyon Martin.
You can't take away White and Copeland. Nobody would take them. You really can't take them.
I think Copeland could...
Copeland will be a star in San Antonio next year. He will be averaging 20 to 30 minutes a game, 10 points.
I feel like he's a serviceable.
I don't get it. I mean, I guess he has a bit of a turnstile on the defensive end.
The defense is terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, him on Blake Griffin was funny.
It's really laughable. So this week we've got tonight Utah, we say loss. Wednesday, home run.
That's a win, baby.
And you say Friday and Saturday we split Toronto.
I say we split.
So that would put us at 40-28.
That's still 12 games over 500 after what we've been through.
That's really good. I mean, because April gets really brutal at Miami, at Atlanta, versus Milwaukee, at Oklahoma, versus Washington, at Chicago, at Cleveland, versus Indiana, at Charlotte, versus Atlanta. I mean,
Chicago hasn't even been playing that well, but they beat the shit out of us three times. I mean... I can't believe Bellinelli is not the greatest shooter in the world. Yeah. Like
I have a hard time believing he doesn't play for the Globetrotters. Like in his spare time. So, I guess the next question becomes the Atlantic Division. Are we going to be able to stave off the Nets?
Not at this rate. They're one game up on the Nets. The Nets are pretty healthy.
Right. And Boston. But Boston's missing their best player.
Yeah, but one guy. That they're missing one, and it turns out their system's working a little better without him, where they're passing the ball around.
Yeah, why isn't our system working better without our top three guys?
Because they're missing the point guard, but they still have Courtney Lee and Bradley, and they're doing different things.
I don't know, man. I wish I could say we could beat any good teams with the talent we have assembled, but we don't. There's no way. I mean, there's no way a team that starts Chris Copeland, Kenyon Martin.
Yeah.
Marcus Camby. Iman Shumpert.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not a winning formula. People want to blame Woodson. Is there a blame for him? I don't know.
Yeah, you can get on him about his rotations, but I mean, I think he's doing the best he can with this team. You have three guys. Arguably the three best players.
Yeah, I mean that was our threesome. That's our Miami equivalent. That's the big. It's so frustrating because it was really coming around.
Yeah, they were playing well. I think if they don't get hurt and everyone's healthy, you know,
we are a 50-win team.
They beat the Warriors, maybe. Yeah, the Nuggets, maybe not. The Nuggets are really tough.
Portland, I think we win.
Clippers is a fight at least. Yeah. Portland, yeah. I mean, we were up 13 with Scruggs.
I'll tell you that Lillard. Good. That guy's a good player.
He's really good.
And he's got confidence, too. I mean, he just, he did like a turnaround three. It's like a turnaround three-pointer.
Yeah.
Like in somebody's face. And I was like, whoa, this guy's got some stones on him.
I don't put him up there with Kyrie Irving in terms of young point guards, but he's very, very good.
He's good. He's good. Well, Kyrie's, a beast. I wish we hadn't drafted Jordan Hill. We could have Steph Curry right now.
Well,
right?
They said that the Knicks blew up his spot. I don't know if I believe that, but it was like Chad Ford and like NBA insiders were saying like the Knicks were the first ones to get on the Steffi Curry bandwagon.
Yeah.
And then other teams were like, wait a minute. Like, why are like the Knicks, why are they so into this? And then it kind of...
Which is weird because if the Knicks won, you usually think you stay.
I don't know how true that is, but that's what I was reading at the time. And then the Warriors, of course, took them.
Knicks could use right now in the middle? Frederick Weiss. I feel like if anybody could help us down low with our post problems.
I mean, if you want to go down the list at Knicks draft wonders, you go back to Artest. You go back to Frederick Weiss, not drafting Ty Lawson, Jordan Hill over him. And then also, they don't have a draft pick
this year
for Melo.
That's really disgraceful.
That sucks, too.
Would have been nice. Is it a deep draft, or is it a crappy one? I don't even know.
Brittany Griner's coming out.
We're not getting anybody in the
Brittany year. Griner? We can't get her? Out of Baylor?
We can't get the girl from Baylor? Okay.
I don't know, man. I mean, like, dude from Kansas. I don't think it's like a huge draft, but still, it sucks to not have a first-round pick again.
Are we going to lose in the first round of the playoffs?
It's possible. I tell you what, we play Boston. I don't like that matchup. I know I said
how would we play Boston? 4-5?
Let's say 4-5. 3-6?
No, it's not going to be 3-6 because they're not winning the division, and we're not winning the division.
Well, we could, but I think we get set. I think the Nets win the division now, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's going to be really close. We don't play the Nets anymore, so there's no head-to-heads.
Good thing we got those done.
The only way we win the division is we beat Boston both times we play them and beat Toronto both times we play them this week. It's the only way we get it done.
Yeah.
Is
the Nets slump a little bit. The Nets just lost to Atlanta. It's not like the Nets are killing it.
It's weird. There's a lot of teams lumped in at that 29 loss mark.
Yeah.
Boston, Atlanta, the Nets all have 29.
We have 28.
26.
And
28. We have 28. Yeah,
28.
And then who else? Milwaukee's below that. That's, they have 30, I think. I mean, look, we could conceivably fall to 8.
No, I don't think so.
No?
No, because you know what? As bad as things look now. We could end up with 45
wins. I mean, 45 and 37.
I'm going to be positive, and let's say Melo comes back, and he's healthy when he comes back, and it puts things back on track. And you want to... obviously it looks bad now. Yeah. You're going to, the roof is falling. But I think they kind of get back on track if Melo's healthy, even without Amari and Chandler. Yeah, they're not going to fall to 8. They might lose the Atlantic. They might slip to 4, maybe even 5. But I think that's it.
I mean, it's tough. I just want to see them win a playoff series.
Yeah, me too. You get in second round, it's a successful season.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And look, like we said, a healthy squad for a full season, roll the dice again. But if everything breaks, not even has to break right, we just have to get into that 7 spot. I don't fear anybody other than the Heat. I really don't, with a healthy Knicks squad.
Yeah, if Amari is going to come back.
Yeah.
But again, like we talked about last time, it took him a while to get...
He won't be back for the first round no matter what.
You don't think so?
No.
Are you sure?
They said 8 weeks puts him in the second round.
I thought it was 6 weeks.
Right, but they said it took the 2 weeks. The first 2 weeks was crap.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah.
Why do you play like crap the first 2 weeks? I mean,
why did he?
Yeah,
just getting your footing.
Just getting
back.
Your footing. I mean,
no, I think that's it. I mean, Shumpert, look how long it's taken him. He came back from ACL.
You got to admit, you're feeling a little better about Shumpert now.
He's starting to get his quickness back a little
defensively,
bit.
Defensively too.
Yeah. It's beyond the shot. It's like, you know what? his shot. I mean, any old NBA player should hit an open shot, but it's the defense with him.
He's a little, still back. A little too cocky for a guy who's 33% shooter.
5 points a game.
Yeah, 5 points. He's a little bit of too much Twitter confidence.
Yeah.
He's got that Twitter confidence. He's big on Twitter, and he was big as a rookie.
Yeah.
He's got that Landry Fields misplaced, you know, confidence.
Oh, R.I.P. Landry Fields.
Yeah, R.I.P. We'll see him, you know. Maybe Shumpert will guard him in that home and home.
Yeah.
That would be nice if Shumpert outscores Fields. I mean,
with this team, you don't know. They lost to the Raptors twice.
There's nothing worse than being like, oh, man, Landry Fields just stuck it to us.
We lost to the Raptors twice already. I mean, yeah. That's disgraceful.
Yeah, now we have two games against them. I'd like to split them. So there's obviously no top Stars. Knicks of the week.
Well, it's top Knicks of the week. Kenyon Martin. Kenyon Martin, Marcus Camby, and Kurt Thomas.
Yeah, so basically the same ones from 1999.
Yeah. How does it feel rooting for Kenyon Martin, the guy who I hated my whole life?
Yeah, they're like, yeah, I always hated Kenyon's game.
I thought he was such a dick.
He is.
The cancer thing to Alonzo Mourning. Yeah, Martin. Remember that in practice when he was like, my cancer.
Yeah.
Or something like that to Alonzo.
Was he testicular? Zoe had testicular.
No, Nana had testicular cancer. Zoe had like the growth in his chest.
Steroids cancer.
You think it was steroids?
Steroids cancer,
It was from steroids?
He had a lot of roids pumping through his veins, I think.
He was jacked.
Now, he had that temper, too. He had that temper.
He had a temper.
You're right. He's bigger than Chandler.
Chandler's not the thin tower. Muscular a little bit.
Hey, everybody, tweet at us and tell us if you think the Thin Towers is a good name for Chandler and Camby when you see them playing together, which they never have this entire year.
No.
They haven't been on the court for 1 minute together.
I don't think so. Well, I don't know if that works.
Don't they have to play together to be the Thin Towers? I mean, even if that was a thing, don't they actually
have to... Would you put them together at the same time? I don't see how that works.
Why not? Neither of them do anything at all offensively, and they both do the same exact thing defensively.
When Copeland and White are in at the same time.
Yeah. Has Copeland and White ever been on the court at the same time?
Well, they started. They started the Blazer game.
James White is weirdly... He's for the first 1 minute of the game, he looks like an NBA player. And then, like, one possession, he can go down one... and then he, like... Somehow he realizes he's James White, and then he has to fumble around, like, for 5 minutes.
He's been on a few teams, though.
Yeah.
I mean, he's like a journeyman.
He's loved by Kevin Durant and his posse. I love that. But now, after the dunk contest, they probably deactivated him, defriended him
on
Twitter.
He got sold to Chris Humphreys' group.
Yeah, to the Chris Humphreys... What is that commercial? Make me a time machine?
Yeah.
Stupid. All right. Well, I think we're going to I'm going to move on, and I'm going to interview our buddy J.L. Kovan, a Utah Jazz fan before this game. He's probably going to try and stick it to us.
Find out why he likes the Jazz.
I'm going to find out why he likes the Jazz. And, you know, we'll come back next week. Hopefully, we'll be back to our winning ways. There's nothing too positive to say. It's, you know, a really shitty week. All right.
Tonight would be, if they did win, it would be nice. It's the last game on the road trip. It would be a good win.
It would be nice. It would be nice. All right, man. We'll talk to you soon. So, we are back with a very special guest. Ladies and gentlemen, you may know him as a member of my group, Comedians in Law. Or you just may know him as a really angry guy who writes funny stuff on the Huffington Post. We're here with J.L. Kovan.
Roar.
Yeah, he's a Utah Jazz fan. Which you don't see very much in New York, actually. Do you, JL? Do you go to...
No, I've seen... there was one kid in my high school who was a Utah Jazz fan, and we had a bond for a few years, and then he was a year older than me, and he left. And I've met, like, four, not counting, like, Knick games where there's just people milling around in Jazz jerseys. I've met, like, four in my life.
You know what's funny about that is I always wonder how somebody just becomes a random that's not a city they grew up in.
Yeah.
If it's a chick, it's usually the jerseys. How does a guy become a fan of a random team?
Oh, it was the jersey.
It was the jersey, so it was a chick.
I was coming into my own as a woman.
Yeah, you were like, that really goes well with my hair.
No, it was my brother subscribed to the Sporting News when I was a little kid, and every week they'd have this full page of NBA stats. And I kept seeing the names Malone and Stockton right at the top of several categories. So I watched a Jazz game and, you know, having a white mom and a black dad, I said, hey, look at this small white person and larger black person getting together.
I know this is somewhat of a bit, but is it also somewhat true?
No, the racial thing is not true. Okay. It's more like a happy coincidence. But I was like, oh, I like the way they play. And I think I was just, you know, Malone... more so than Stockton. I liked how they worked together.
Yeah.
And it was very, like, good basketball to watch as a young kid learning how to play the game. Like, they played it almost like the way a good college program would play.
Except for basketball. Stockton, like, grabbing people by the crotch as he set picks. His dirty picks.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and then Malone, that's why I, like, started lifting weights, like, late in high school. I was just like, look at this dude.
Yeah, he was big into the weightlifting. So you were, your prime watching years was, like, the 90s against Jordan. That was right.
I started being a
you
fan.
You and I were the same age, so it was that, you know, early 90s.
I officially became a Jazz fan during the 87-88 season.
Okay. That was Stockton. Did they have Hornets? Was he Hornets?
No, first it was, who the hell was it? The first guy, I remember Thurl Bailey was Thurl like their Bailey. Third guy, and then they got Jeff Malone early in the 90s, and he was their Jeff third Malone. Guy for a while. Then they got Jeff Hornacek. Right. As long as they have somebody named Jeff.
Yeah, they had to have a Jeff because it's Utah. They were like, we need a Jeff on this team. And But I remember some guys in the NBA, I feel like there just aren't names like that anymore, like Thurl Bailey. I just liked that guy. You know, you're a kid, you're like, I want a Thurl Bailey. Was he the one who had the thick...
He had goggles. He does like in-studio work for them now.
Does he not wear the rec specs anymore?
Just glasses. Or does he go contacts? I forget.
Yeah, I feel like nobody wears the rec specs anymore. We're missing that in the NBA. So you probably had a similar situation to us Knicks fans in that the 90s were brutal because you felt like you're so close but so far away.
Well, it was really brutal because the Knicks got their shot first. You know, a couple of their strongest years were right up against Jordan's. And we got to get Jordan towards the end. Like, we had finally made it through the West after many years of, like, conference
final
losses.
Very tough West. The Sonics were a beast.
And then we did it twice.
Yeah.
And I said, and the second time we had the better record.
Right.
And I said, this is it. It's happening.
Yeah.
And it didn't.
Yeah, well, Byron Russell. Is he your Bill Buckner?
No, because if he had made the... To be honest, Malone was the one who got stripped.
Stripped, right. Was that the first year or the second year?
I think that was the second year because... Yeah, and we let Jordan drive. Like, they were down four with, like, 38 seconds.
Yeah.
So Jordan drove the lane in 3 seconds and laid it in. It was like, way to make him take time off the clock.
Yeah. But don't you feel like in some way... All of us, Knicks fans, Jazz fans, Sonics fans, and Suns fans all get a pass. It's all the same. We all have the same story. I mean, it's all like the same guy who's better.
In fact, the Pacers also probably belong, and as much as I like to think of the Knicks, the Pacers definitely, they were the only team to take the Jordan Bulls to 7 games.
Yeah.
That one year.
I mean, you know, Reggie, for better or worse, I don't think Reggie was on the caliber of the Ewings and Malones and all those other guys, and he gets a little bit of hype. Revisionist history that he was a super duper star.
He was an all-star.
Yeah.
He was not even, I mean, but the thing is, they had a good team makeup. You had a giant center in Smith's, and then you had, people forget how jacked Dale and Antonio Davis were.
Brothers, who weren't brothers,
so you had a giant Dutchman and two muscle-bound dudes just pounding the ball inside.
Yeah.
You had a clutch shooter.
Yeah.
Who else was on those teams?
Well, you know.
Detlef Schrempf.
Schrempf was a very, you know, like the first of the European breeds of like these guys who could do everything. Who is it? Was Mark Jackson? No, Mark Jackson wasn't their point guard at the time, was he?
I think he might have been.
He might have been. Yeah, I mean, it was brutal. It was really brutal because, you know, especially the West was tough too. You had Houston.
Imagine Jordan had won 8 in a row, though. Imagine he had beaten Olajuwon.
Yeah.
You'd never be able to discuss who the best player is, regardless of what. Like, if he had beaten everybody.
What's funny is Olajuwon now gets a sort of a bump.
Yeah.
Deserved or not deserved, he's gotten a bump. Like, I think Bill Simmons listed him as one of his top 10 all time.
Did he get the top 10?
I think he was, like, right on the cusp. I forget if it was, like, him or Shaq that was, like, you know, best, you know, big man outside of Russell and Wilt.
Well, but the thing is, he deserved, like, if he had played Jordan.
Yeah, it's fine. I'm sure the sirens won't interrupt our 90s basketball talk.
But if I just think that Olajuwon had such signature moments, and kind of, even if he wasn't, nobody considers him better than Jordan.
Right.
But in a class of many good great centers.
Great center. That was a good old time.
He established himself as the top one.
Yes.
He's the all-time blocks leader.
Yeah.
He's a two-time champion. And even if he was not a zero-time champion, he would have been a two-time finalist, which would have put him, at worst, at the Malone-Stockton level, but a better defensive player.
Yes. Now, he was the alpha dog, too, because you remember in 97 when Robinson won MVP and Akeem just
completely. No, that was 95.
95.
Because that was the second time. 95. He annihilated
them. Yeah, I've never seen anybody take something more personally.
Yeah, but without like being a douche about it.
How did Malone fare head to head with those guys? Did they defend each other? Because here's what I never got, right? Like, he's bigger than Olajuwon.
Yeah.
But there was always that thing, and Duncan did it too. Like, I want to be known as a power forward, even though I have the same skill set as a center.
Right.
Like, offensively.
Yeah, Tim Duncan is a center.
Yeah.
When you're 7 feet tall, and just because you're playing with another 7 foot tall, it's more like one guy had to be the power forward, but you were playing two centers.
But was that a way to get, like, is Duncan doing the same thing that Malone did, which was that a way to get historical significance?
No, here's the thing. Malone is the prototype power forward of an era. 6'9", 250.
Right.
Like when for so many years, 6'8 to 6'9 was the power forward. Now you have the Kevin Garnett, like 7 foot multi-talented
wing,
guys.
Out on the wing shooting.
So the position is kind of different now.
Yeah.
But Tim Duncan came in at an era where if you were 6'11", 7 foot, you were a center. And his game was a center's game, a shot blocking low post player who had like a 15-foot jumper.
Yeah, Duncan is definitely what
center.
I think of as a center.
Which is why I always go, I still consider him alone. I'm like, I still like to think of him as the greatest power forward of all time.
Yeah, I mean it's somewhat arbitrary at this point. They don't even have now. They have the All-Star game is just big men, right? They don't even have like forwards and centers. I don't even think Tyson Chandler was the only center.
Right.
In the entire Eastern Conference. And he has no offensive game whatsoever, which is...
Dunks. I like how Tyson Chandler is like 70% field goal shooter, but it's like, but why is he only 70%? All he does is dunk.
Well, which is why I think what Kevin Durant is doing this year is incredible to be... And LeBron, you know, these guys who are averaging, like, you know, when they talk about the 50-40-90 club, and they're like, oh, Nash is in it. He shot 4, you know, 8 to 12 times a game. It's a lot easier to be in the... In the 50-40-90. So let's fast forward a little. Actually, I wanted one last point about Malone.
Sure.
I had this memory of him as sort of like somebody who could get rattled with toughness. Am I just misremembering that, or was that sort of...
I wouldn't say he got rattled with toughness. It was more... But he did... This is the one thing I'll say bad about Karl Malone, other than his
hair, his Rogaine commercials.
His 13-year-old lover. When he was 19.
That's right. That's
other
right.
than that.
He had some sexual skeletons, but back then everybody did.
And that's tough for me to deal with. When you give me Carmelo in 20 years, like, he's my Joe Pa.
Yeah.
You know? Where
I
can't go back.
Listen, Morgan Freeman married his step-granddaughter, and Edward James almost molested his kid's babysitter. So, you know, all the legends are have some taint on them.
There you go. Pun intended. No, I think... Malone, one thing that annoyed me, even as a fan, was he bitched too much to refs. He really, like, more so than dealing with other players, he bitched a lot to refs. Like, he thought he got fouled on every play and let it be known. I was always like, it never bothered me enough, but I was always like, let one go.
Did we ever find out what he said at the free throw line? Wasn't that his big thing, too? He would whisper stuff to himself.
Oh,
wasn't he a mutterer? I feel like he was one of those... Everybody in the 80s had, like, a free-throw mutter.
The Jazz had all of them.
Yeah.
Hornacek saying hello to his kids, wiping on his face.
That's such a weird... Does he live in Utah, Malone? Because he was a trucker?
Somebody told me on the Utah Jazz Network that, like, he has, like, a car dealership out in Utah. I'm sure he has, like, a home in Utah, a home in Louisiana.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure he's got all of them.
And you went to Utah to go to some games.
I went to one game... 3 years ago, I think. It was Darren Williams' last full year on the team. And they won. It was late in the season. And they won. It was awesome. They won 140 to 139 in overtime over the Thunder.
Wow.
It was sick. It was like the game of the year for the regular season.
You got lucky because you went to this Houston one that was the game of the year.
Oh, holy shit.
Yeah, you got lucky. I was thinking about that. He went to the Harden game against OKC.
Oh, my God. That was awesome.
Yeah. I went to the Reggie Miller game, which was brutal for me, the 9 points in 30 seconds. I've never been to a classic. Actually, I went to a Marbury Iverson in their primes going at each other. That was probably the best game in Philly. Iverson stole the ball from Marbury, apropos of their careers, you know, to end the game.
Marbury, it's unfortunate because the truth is, I remember watching Marbury as a freshman at Georgia Tech.
Yeah.
Dude was a beast.
He was.
Athletic, but super strong.
Yeah, he was strong all the way through until his first couple injuries in the league. He was the tragic, not knowing that you're not the alpha dog.
Yeah,
Be Dwayne Wade or be Pippen. I mean, look at Dwayne Wade, what he's done. with his career. He's like, yeah, you know, I'm going to score 20. By the way, 23 is enough. How much?
Yeah.
And that's a lot.
Wayne Rainey's a Hall of Famer now.
Yeah.
Like, he's a Hall of Famer. And that should be, like, that's it.
So let me ask you this. Utah Jazz now seems to me like they didn't do anything at the deadline.
Big mistake.
They've got these four big guys. The Knicks played them and destroyed them last week.
Unreal lack of effort. Like, I was at the game. I felt bad because my brother had gotten me tickets as a Christmas present to go to the game. Horrific. Horrific execution.
Best game the Knicks played all year.
Unreal lack of effort and execution.
Against a team that is, you know, reeling. The Knicks are a reeling squad. I mean, they've, you know, now humiliated themselves four times in a row. What makes the Jazz such a bad road team?
That's what's bothered me, is that I keep thinking, are they doing something?
What is it?
Well, I keep thinking, are they doing something at in night. Utah, like rigging the rims or something?
Oh, yeah.
But what I realize is Utah has the advantage, and somebody was explaining this recently, same thing as Denver. Denver has even more elevation, but Utah has a lot of teams coming back east. It's like the last game on like a three-game or four-game West Coast trip.
That's interesting.
So it's like they get, you know, just like the Jazz had lost up until the Knicks game, which is why they're not as bad as they showed. The Jazz, the night before the Knicks game, lost at the buzzer to the Bulls.
That's right.
Two nights before that, they lost in overtime to the Bucks.
Yeah, very close.
And then, and like two nights before, so they had literally lost three games by a total of 5 points.
So you think they took a little will out of them?
It was almost like the Knicks game was the one they probably were like, we can lose this one. Like, yeah, we're not going to win this one. But they'd already come
so close. They call those two scheduled losses. I think that's a good term sometimes. We're on the second night of a back-to-back on the road. You know, you've had 4 and 5 nights or whatever.
But that should have counted as like 2.5.
That was a bad. That was brutal, especially now looking at what the Knicks did the four games after that.
The Jazz offense literally consisted of pass around the perimeter for 22 seconds and then chuck it up for like 10 straight possessions.
Who do you think they should keep of those big men? Cantor, Favors, Millsap, and Jefferson?
All right. My heart is with Millsap because I just love Millsap.
Well, he's the hardest working. He's like a blue collar player.
But he's one of those guys who's shown so much improvement. I can see he handles the ball more. I really think he's literally like trying to become a 3-4.
Well, he's undersized at the 4.
Right. But that still didn't stop him when he got that first year before they got Jefferson from being like 17.
You know who he reminds me of? I don't know if he's a poor man's, but he's not as good as David West, but similar. They're a little undersized, but very good post game.
Like, David West is a little stronger, and Millsap is more... Millsap's a very underrated defender. He was, like, fourth in the league in steals last year.
Because Jefferson's a terrible defender, right?
Jefferson is the guy they have to get rid of, unfortunately, and they probably should have traded him. Simply because you have a young athletic team, and he has an old-school post game.
Takes forever to get to his moves.
And he can do moves, and he's got... But it's like...
He's like Chris Kaman when he's out there. He's like the black Chris Kaman. I mean, literally, it's the same time. If you put the clock on, like, the time it takes to
it's a nine-second
it's
possession.
Very Patrick Ewing-esque, actually. That's the real classic.
Which is okay, though, because that was a different time.
Yeah, because there weren't quick guys who would come in and slap the ball away every time. Now,
this is... So I hate to say it. Jefferson's the first guy I get rid of, which is why they probably should have traded him, because they could have gotten like a draft pick and a shooter or something. Now Cantor I like, because Cantor made a huge jump from year one to year two, got lean, got like so, got real ripped, like
he's,
dropped
I mean,
a lot of weight.
He looks like a player, but I haven't seen. I mean, I only saw that one game.
He's big on the board. I just like him because I think he's got a touch. He's 20. He's got touch from the outside. And he just bangs.
But he is also a European big man.
No, but that's the thing. He plays like a rough and tumble game.
Name? I mean, I just go through, like, historically, like, who has worked out of the European big men? I mean, you know, it's so rare that
But the difference with him is that bangers, he's not a Euro player. So I like, you know, Turkey. It's on the Turkey, it's like kind of a...
Is he Asian? Is he, what is he, Middle East? You know, what is that?
But then that leaves Millsap and Favors. Now, athletically, you just Favors they've invested too much in. Like you, but there's something about him where I just don't see a killer.
Yeah.
Like, if you're a franchise, expected to be a borderline franchise player, you've got to have some moments where you go 25 and 15.
Right.
You get 30 minutes in a game and you go 25 and 15 and people go, oh, shit. He doesn't have that. Even Cantor, it was the Bobcats, granted.
Yeah.
got 23 and 22 like 2 weeks ago. So even if it's against the worst team in the league, it just kind of shows like you can sometimes get it done in a big way.
Yeah, I think teams and favors falls into this category, right? Like usually 1 to 2 years in, you know who you have.
Right.
Like you know who you have. You know, like for example, that guy Derek Williams on Minnesota, he's a bust.
Right.
Beasley's a bust. And you knew right away there wasn't, you know, Marvin Williams, complete bust. Oof.
We got him.
I don't understand the logic behind paying Marvin Williams. I mean, that guy's garbage.
Yeah, I don't think we have him for more than this year.
Yeah.
I hope. But the problem with the Jazz is what they should have done, except they probably didn't get a good enough offer. If they had packaged Favors and Jefferson to somebody, Favors, because everybody loves him,
right.
Jefferson expiring contract,
right.
They could have gotten something big for that. But right. Then, you know, every so often, Favors just goes, oh, he had 17, yeah. 9, and 4 blocks tonight. And you're like, shit.
We got to keep him around. I've heard that the plan is, you know, they got these guys. They got to do a sign and trade in the offseason. Ultimately, you like Hayward?
Well, I like Hayward. Utah loves Hayward.
He's white.
But
he looks
not,
like them.
He's a good player. Don't get me wrong. He's a good player.
Yeah, like, you're like Isaiah Thomas right now talking about Larry Bird, right?
Like, to people in Utah. No, but the thing with Hayward is like, okay, he's where I thought he'd be. He's at 14, 4, and yeah. 3. That's where I thought he'd be. Like, he, to me, at his peak, will be the third to fourth best player on a contending team.
Okay.
That's the peak of his career. Right. People in Utah kind of look at him like, he can lead us one day, and it's like, no.
They don't have, I mean, are any of these guys a star?
That's the problem. Favors is the only one who could be, and I don't think he is.
Yeah, I don't think he is.
You know what I mean?
I don't think he is either. I think
none of them have star potential.
I think what you're saying
is
right about,
one.
You know, Cantor being like, you know, the 23 and 22. I like seeing that.
Yeah.
I like when I see a guy put up monster numbers.
Yeah, in your second
then,
year, if you just have five or six big games, it's like, okay, definitely worth a look. And his body changed from, you know, he was a kind of, not fleshy, but like, didn't have a lean look. He got stronger, but dropped like, you know, 20, 25 pounds.
Yeah, yeah. And their backcourt's a disaster.
I mean, Foy's all right. Mo Williams was killing it early in the season.
He's got
the
J.R. Smith, Jamal Crawford syndrome of, like, Jason Terry. Like, you're not a real star. You can put up points.
He was playing really well.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, for the Jazz right now, this team, if they had stayed healthy, could have legitimately been the sixth seed in the West, which is no championship. It's probably still a first-round exit. But just the fact that they're not, like,
according to Bill Simmons, that's a disastrous model, the being the 6-7.
Of course
seed.
It is. Which is why they, they have a decision. Like, I would almost be okay with them trashing the team.
Because that's
for
the
draft
way to
picks and things.
Right? I mean, how do you, because the way that the money is, right, if you're a 6-7-8, you're paying maxed out almost to be a 6-7-8. It's tricky, but I read recently about the Jazz is that their fan base demands the playoffs, so even like it's a better
this
for them to make the playoffs than not.
Well, this is the thing that I realized. First of all, they should realize that there is nothing sports wise else in Utah, so the fan base may have to put up. You may actually have the fan base hostage. Like, you know what? Let's rebuild.
Right.
Where are they going to go? The minor league baseball
There's
team?
Like the Utah Buzzsaws or something.
The Bees. The Salt Lake City Bees.
Salt Lake City Bees.
Which is where Mike Trout played.
Is that right?
Yeah,
that's cool. I actually worked for a guy who owned a bunch of minor league baseball teams in Hawaii.
But the whole thing is, I think they should trash the team.
Yeah.
And because, let me tell you, if Favors... Now, Hayward, to me... I like Hayward, I like Millsap, I like Cantor, and I like Damari Carroll. Now, those are players of different levels. Damari Carroll hustles his ass. Like,
for those of you who are not familiar with the Utah Jazz, he's not that good of a player, Damari Carroll.
He's not. No, but I'm just saying he's also not going to command a lot of money. I'm just saying you keep him as an eighth man, I'm still okay with him. But now you've got 8 spots to fill, and I don't believe Jefferson is at his peak.
Right.
And it's, you know... Fine, you're a top 10 center in a league where only the top 3 centers matter.
Right.
Like
but isn't there something
if you're
to be
less
said
than Marc Gasol,
to put up 20
care.
Points a game? I mean,
But it's done in a way, it's done in a, let me have the ball, let me determine when I, like, he doesn't get 20 in the flow of an offense.
So the detriment of the offense.
Not necessarily detriment, but he gets it, when he gets his points, he is choosing his time to make his moves, and it's not like he's doing pick and roll and dunks.
He just says, now I want to score.
Yeah.
He just says, I'm going to, this, the next time I touch the ball, I'm going to
Toss up. Tyson Chandler abused him so.
Right.
Because Chandler was like, I'm 7'1 and more athletic than you.
You can't get to any spot.
I don't have to go for a single pump fake that you do because I'll just tap the ball to my teammate each time.
That takes me into a good segue because I think our listeners heard enough about the Jazz. I want to hear your opinion on our Knicks. You presumably watch some of the games or you saw that game against Utah. First of all, are you a Carmelo Anthony fan or a Carmelo Anthony hater?
If I have to pick one, I'm a hater.
Why?
Because I feel like much like a perimeter Al Jefferson. And he's somewhere between Al Jefferson and Kobe.
Okay.
But it's all about, he has the talent and the skill set to score 50 points. And he can do it more often than not. But it's about, give me the ball, let me do my thing. And I feel like to win a championship, you either need to go with the Indiana Pacer, Detroit Piston model of like the mid-00 decade, or you need to just have LeBron or Durant. Like, you can't out-superstar those teams. So Carmelo is going with the superstar model of center the offense around me.
Well, I think it's a hybrid because Woodson doesn't really know what he wants to do, and he defers to Melo.
Right.
He's got he has the I only boss around my inferior players syndrome. But I will say this. When the Knicks started off this year really hot, the offense was flowing, and it wasn't being stopped by what he did. It was like, if we need a bucket right now, we go to Melo. Otherwise, he was passing it around.
Which is the way you'd want it to be.
You know, and I don't think that he deviated from that other than because of the necessity of the injuries and just...
Felton
went down. All the threes stopped. So you can't pass the guys if they're going 1-for-10.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just a... It's like a... Like, Kobe has good options.
Yeah.
Melo, I mean, you look at the Knicks squad, it's bereft of talent when Damari's not in there and Felton's not in there. You're going to pass to James White, Chris Copeland. I mean, these guys are scrubs.
Chris Copeland's not a bad player.
Well, it's weird. Jeff and I were talking about it earlier. He scores 8 points in the first quarter, and then Woodson's like, he's out. That's it. He's done for the game.
It reminds me of John. You remember John Wallace from Syracuse?
Yeah.
The Knicks drafted him. John Wallace, I guess he couldn't defend a blade of grass.
Yeah.
But that dude could score in the NBA, and I never understood why he didn't get time.
It's very befuddling. Woodson's one of those coaches, doesn't feel he has to explain himself. Right. And it's like, Copeland just scored 8 points, but in 10 minutes, never played again. James White scores 0 points, but starts the first 6 minutes and does nothing.
Coaches that like defense always have that as in their back pocket, though. Like, we defend first.
Right, and it's like, well, you're not even a top 10 defensive team, you know? Like, I don't know where that comes from. All right, so
I got to tell you, let me just tell you, when I really did like the Knicks and when I really thought they had something going? The team that I liked was Amare. Now, who knew that he was going to get injured and be played 58 minutes a game by D'Antoni? But I loved the team centered around Amare, and when you guys had Wilson Chandler and Gallinari, I really liked that team.
Listen, you're preaching to the Knicks choir that we've now talked ourselves into the Melo era because we have no choice.
Sure, but I loved that. I loved having two skilled wings with an explosive big man.
Well, look at Denver now.
I mean, look at Denver.
They look pretty good.
I have predicted this. I want this on record.
Yeah.
I got Heat Nuggets in the finals.
You know, it's quite possible Denver could run everybody into the ground.
What they did to the Knicks in that game
very painful.
Was Drago Apollo. Like, oh my God, stop!
I actually threw a white towel at my TV. I had blood on it. I threw it at my TV. My sister was like, why are you throwing a bloody towel at my TV?
Ty Lawson, I discussed this with somebody else. Ty Lawson, not to get off
Knicks. No, it's fine.
But Ty Lawson is one of those guys where it's like, yeah, NBA scouts, of course he's good, you dumbasses. The guy was a champion. He's fast, he's strong, he's skilled, he's a champion. and a leader.
It makes me crazy when they get it so wrong about, like, another guy with Steph Curry. Of course he was going to be good.
I didn't know he was going to be this good.
Oh, I just watched him in college. Like, you watch some of these guys in college, and it's like, well, they're not slow, so they can play at the NBA speed.
Ooh, that's the was that the Jimmer Fredette caveat, right? Yeah, because slow.
Yeah, because
the slow Steph Curry may not play.
I mean, if you're slow, you're not going to do well in the NBA. You can't get your shot off. A guy who can get his shot off, is going to do well. You know, it's like you're going to do well. I just thought, but Ty Lawson was the one that drove me crazy because you watch a guy like Felton play against Lawson, and you're like, oh, because sometimes
chubby Ty Lawson.
Sometimes I like to talk myself into Felton. Jeff and I talk about this. We try to talk ourselves into Felton being like a borderline top tier, you know, in that second tier. But now we've come to the realization he's bottom half right now of the league point guards. It's a very point guard heavy league right now. We're at a sort of like a peak historically for point guards, but I don't understand how Felton could have gained 20 pounds in season this year.
Him and Kurt Thomas have, like, the same body type. It's weird.
We had a theory that he's sneaking out in the hotel, or, like, he has, you know, like,
some he's pulling a JL and just getting vending machine products.
He's eating vending machine because it doesn't make sense. I can understand how last year he was out of shape. There was a, you know, everybody was out doing their thing. But you're on the road. You're playing four games a week. How do you have time to gain 20 pounds during the season?
Yeah. I mean, then... Yeah, I just I think it's Nuggets heat. I think the Nuggets are going to smack some teams. Like, they're every bit ready for the Thunder.
Yeah, but here's the problem, right? And it's a good pick. It's like a nice, you know, nice little pick.
It's a sexy pick.
It's a sexy little pick, but at the end of the day, there's 2 minutes to go in a tight game. Durant's taking it home. Unless they blow out the Thunder, you know, like, I mean, I just don't see... Gallinari's a good shooter, and Chandler's a good shooter, too.
Chandler, I love Wilson Chandler's game. I love his game. I
mean, we were just talking about how he's better than J.R. Smith before you got on here.
His game is so... It's just such a nice game he's got.
He doesn't force anything.
He's got the tattoos of a new age player, but he really has, like, the mid-range game of, like, an old school shooting guard.
Yeah, he's got
back
to the basket. He can shoot the mid-range.
And then the other guy, though, that you have to remember is, like, Durant's got length on him, but Iguodala, you don't have to ask him to score a lot, and then you just kind of sick him on
somebody. I mean, when I watched them just completely dismantle the Knicks, like it was a JV versus, you know, JV women's versus men's NCAA champion, it was like I realized how much I was kidding myself in thinking that the Knicks are at that caliber of a team. I mean, I know they're shorthanded, but there's just so much depth. Like, the Nuggets second team is a full-on... Yeah, that guy Fareed is a beast. He was dunking on Kenyon Martin and whoever else was the Knicks were throwing. Even Chandler couldn't handle it on the board.
Kenneth Fareed his name is Manimal, but his nickname should be Terminator because he does not stop. Like, he's Millsap on, like, the juice.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy.
He's relentless. I mean, look, I would really like to see an OKC Denver Western. I don't like the Clippers squad as much. I think Blake Griffin doesn't have the skill set yet to put them over the top. Because DeAndre Jordan has no skill set.
Oh, I love DeAndre Jordan.
Yeah, I mean, I love him too. I mean, he dunked over, what's his name? Who is that?
Brandon Knight,
yeah. He broke him in half.
DeAndre Jordan and Blake Griffin, though, are probably they're definitely in my top five non-Jazz players in the league.
I mean, they're exciting, but they're not...
But I like, they have like a... They were on Norm MacDonald's show also.
Okay,
so I like their little comedy...
Yeah, my buddy Andrew Slater wrote for the short-lived...
You're canceling me.
I loved him on the roast where he deliberately bombed...
Sven's got the eye of an eagle, the ears of a hawk. Ladies and gentlemen, this man's for the birds.
Was that Saget's roast?
That was... You know, they gave him a Man of the Year award because they didn't have a Scoundrel of the Year award or whatever. You know what I'm talking about.
That was great. That was classic. But I don't like the Clippers squad. I think they're just...
I don't like them to come out of the West. Like, I just... Denver... if I had to pick who's coming out of the West, my top two picks would be Oklahoma City or Denver.
I still think it's going to repeat OKC, Miami finals, and Miami's going to win it again.
But if things line up, the problem is depending on who gets like the 5 and 6 seed.
Yeah.
Because that means some team might have two tough ass series. Like, if it lines up right, you might have like a
go through San Antonio matchup. And go through It's a tough one. It's very tricky. The seeding. See, it looked like San Antonio was going to walk away with the top seed, but now Parker is hurt.
Oh, he is?
Yeah, he's been out a month, and they went 6 and they only went like 8-3 without him.
Popovich is the Bill Belichick. He's the Bill Belichick of the NBA.
So we were just talking about, because the Knicks, look, the Knicks aren't the Knicks. They're missing their top three players. Take the top three players out of any team except the Spurs, they're going to flounder.
Yeah.
But you're like you said, he's the Belichick. Like Gary Neal does a Tony Parker impression.
Yeah.
Thiago Splitter does a Tim Duncan impression.
Yeah, half the time I'm like, who?
Yeah.
he does for like anonymous Euro dudes what Bill Belichick does for small white guys who've been cut.
Yeah, yeah, the Welkers, the Danny Bonaducci, whatever his name
now
is.
Now you're on the cusp of Hall of Fame. Yeah, you were cut by some other
team. He's done more for those European, you know, big men. I mean, he, and even Boris Diaw, for God's sakes. I mean, that guy right out of the trash heap to a contributing.
They're so old, too. Yeah. Like, Ginobili, like, I still get amazed. Like, isn't he, like, 40 yet?
Yeah, I mean, he's got a bigger bald spot than I do. I like that guy. He doesn't even cover it up. He doesn't even do the comb over. Oh, I wanted to get back to the Knicks, though. You're a hater of Melo, and we've talked it to death on the podcast. Did you see Amari was actually playing really well before he got hurt this time around? He was playing really efficiently. It actually looked like the $100,000 he paid to Hakeem paid off.
Oh yeah. Well, no, I noticed that his numbers were good. I didn't like it because I don't watch too many Knicks games.
For the first time in his career, he actually looked competent as a post back to the basket player. He developed a mini hook. The whole thing was funny because Hakeem supposedly gave LeBron free training but charged $100,000.
Oh my god!
Yeah,
Hakeem. Yeah. I didn't even realize.
2 days, he charged him $50,000 a day.
I didn't realize Hakeem was charging. I always thought it was just like a. I'm a guru of hoops. I love the game. I didn't realize it was Hakeem Inc.
You can look it up. If you're a big corporate CEO, you can look it up. Hakeem's big man camp. You could spend a week with Amari Stoudemire learning. Yeah, he charged him. But it was paying off. It's really – here's what I said about this season. The disappointing thing is, you know, you say Melo's overrated. I say I wanted him to have one chance, full strength,
right,
head-to-head with LeBron and the Heat this year. This was the chance to be like, I am as good as I think I am. Because sometimes I think he's on that level. I know that he's not because he's not. He's just not on their level. But sometimes he gives you this tease of like,
right.
I can hold my own. He's one of the very few guys that can hold his own some games against the – there's only a few guys that can even pretend to be on LeBron's level.
Darko Milicic also from that draft. Yeah, I think is one of those guys.
Joe Dumars. I can't believe that guy survived his decision-making. That and the Ben Gordon – Ben Gordon Villanueva free agent signings.
Uh-oh, sorry. What's I feel bad though for
where's Al there? Oh. Go ahead.
For what do they call it? Yeah, there's one right here.
Feel bad for
the Pistons who could have had Wade or Melo.
Yeah.
And extended that sort of playoff run.
I mean, yeah. Look, that draft class, to end up with Milicic in that draft class is just a real.
Wasn't that Bosch's draft?
Yeah, Bosch was number five, right? Or no, Wade was five. Bosch was four.
I kept saying Milicic is the real deal because.
Whoops.
What was crazy about Milicic was that I kept saying, like, everybody was like, no, trust me. Jay Billis, they were. He has the skill set. I am telling you, this guy, everybody's confused about him. He's got the, and I just kind of went along with it. I was like, well, last time they were this sure of a big man, it was Tim Duncan, and look how he worked out.
Yeah. No, I mean, look, a lot of people were wrong on that. Total side note, I watched this on the plane. Did you see the 30 for 30 Petrovic Vlade Divac?
Yes, I did.
Really almost brought a tear to my eye how good Drazin was.
Yeah, he was a very good player. Him and Reggie Lewis were lost in one year of each other or something.
You forget because like Petrovic, you know that clip with him aggressively taking on Jordan. Like nobody did that.
Well, and the crazy thing is you forget. You're like, okay, well he was good. He was like a one time All Star, but he was just getting entering his prime.
I knew what I did not remember was I didn't realize. I guess I was. You know, a little too young to remember that he was toiling on the bench in Portland behind Drexler and Terry Porter, and they all were blatantly like, this guy's too good to be on the bench, you know? It's like a tough situation. But yeah, he was 28 when he died.
Yeah. So he had like four.
And Jordan hadn't won a championship yet. Or no, he had just won his.
He called Petrovic the Jordan stopper?
Yeah, the Jordan. I'm saying he could have been.
I wouldn't put it past Jordan to. I just didn't realize.
Yeah, I wouldn't put it past him either. That's a weird, weird, creepy story. I didn't realize that Vlade was such an outcast, the Kukoc and those other... Yeah. Other. It seems like they're not even still... Like, the hatchet hasn't seemed fully buried between those guys.
Well, it's kind of like if Dwayne Wade and LeBron James, Civil War's a bad example, they wouldn't be on the same side. But, like, that's the thing. Like, if you were on the Confederacy and then all of a sudden, or, like, you waved a Confederate flag.
No, listen, it would be pretty dicey. But I like how, you know, I can't tell if Vlade has revisionist history about what he did with that flag or if that's really how it went down.
Yeah.
You know, because he made it seem now, 20 years later, like, I was just, like, wiping my head with a towel and threw it on the ground. You know? It's like, you obviously saw that it was your rival.
Right.
You know. Country, and he was like the ninth best big man of that era.
But he had his own like separate kind of big man game.
He had the big passing. He had the big European.
I have nine assists this game.
Miss Sabonis.
I had 8 points, 7 rebounds, but 8 assists.
I used to love the way the big men threw the ball in, like from the top of the paint. You know, they had that like baseball style kind of like or like over the head kind of throw. All right, so give us a prediction for tonight's game. Before we get out of here and watch the abomination that's the Knicks.
I'm going to go with Jazz 103, Knicks 95.
All right, Jazz 103, Knicks. Now, Jeff and I actually already called it a loss for the Knicks, so.
Then I'm nervous. Yeah. And everybody's chalking it up.
We called it an 0-for-5 trip.
But they're coming off of the Clippers yesterday. Like, so It's very good for the Jazz. They're at home. Yeah. They've had a night off. Yeah.
And listen, the Knicks are not the Knicks. You're starting Copeland and James White and Kenyon Martin and Kurt Thomas. I mean, you can't win with that
squad. Kurt Thomas, like I said, I tweeted this yesterday, but Kurt Thomas has, like, instead of saying, like, 6'10", 2, blah, blah, they should just be like, plus size, Kurt Thomas. He's fleshy now.
You know what I wish they did? I think they should do for the Knicks. He played with and picked the furthest guy back that he played with. Like, he played with Wes Unseld.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's really...
How long has Kurt Thomas been in the league?
19 years, maybe.
Jeez.
Yeah. All right, well, I guess that's going to wrap it up. You can tell these guys where they can see you if you want to, if you have anything you want to...
Well, just check out www.jlcauvin, that's jlcauvin.com for all the stuff I do.
Yeah, funny guy. I don't know why he's a Jazz fan, but there are worse things in this world. All right, well, thanks, JL.
Thank you.
And we will see you guys next week. Hopefully things will turn around.